And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and unto him. The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Are you a mighty man of valor? There is power in the name of Jesus. He stands for truth. The name of Jesus alone can save you. Like Gideon, God sees the greatness inside you. He's the king that has all authority and all power. Let God speak into your life. Thou mighty man of valor. Great is he that is within you than he that is within the whole world. For our Lord is a man of war. So onward, Christian soldiers, marching out to war. For I say the Lord will be unto her a wall of fire round about, and be the glory in the midst of her. The Lord is our protector. We are called by the Father to follow his lead. We are called to be the head of the household and be two men in our homes for our entire family. Teach the family how to worship God, true Father. So your children don't have to look to the world for advice. They know they have a true Father. Any hurdle you face in life, know that the Lord will take you over. We are soldiers for Jehovah. This faith is a fight. It is not a game. Your life is on play and you can't press for sex. We pray and strive to follow his spiritual code of conduct. Line after line, precept after precept. His word gives us marks and orders for life. We are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Nor are we embarrassed. We are ambassadors for Christ. In the army of the Lord, God's army, we are part of his salvation army. He is the vine and we are the branches. We are God's property. We are against the ways of the world. We rebel. God gave us power on earth to bind the devil. We are the body of Christ and we stand strong as brethren. It is written, whatsoever we bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever we loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Like Joshua, God has given you the city. All you have to do is take it for G-O-D. This battle cannot be won by weapons made by man. In us dwells the presence of God. In the Old Testament, his presence was within the Ark of the Covenant. We are children of promise that carry the word as a sword. The word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword, in which we are carriers of the Ark of the Lord. Shout unto the Lord. He hears your heart's cry. Give him your all. Let him hear your battle cry. We are Messiah's mighty men. We are spiritual armed men. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Just know that we are victorious by his blood. The enemy is roaring around like a lion, but he can't defeat us. Because the real lion is our king. The lion of the tribe of Judah is our Jesus.
Hallelujah.
He's the greatest friend that you earnestly need.
Hallelujah.
Every day when you pray and get closer to the Lord, there is power in prayer. As you get on your knees, you are weakening the camp of the enemy and become God's mighty men of valor and live by his righteous standards. Through the power of his spirit and prayer, God is able to destroy the work of the enemy single-handed. The mighty men of valor.
Hallelujah to God. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. God bless you. You tuned into the Men's Fellowship of the Potter's House Christian Prayer and Worship Center, Renewing Your Mind Ministries International. Hallelujah. Where the broken are made whole by God. Wow. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. This is Miss Reedy Bird, along with Minister Jerry Cleveland. Are you there, sir?
Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Yes, sir. Absolutely.
Glory to God. Now, didn't that pump you up? Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm going to tell y'all, look, we have two editions of the Mighty Man of Valor. And I've been playing the other one. But you know what? This was the first one I started. I love this. It's a God. Man, I feel like going out the wall right now. I don't know about you, Brother Jeff. My. Glory to God.
I'm not much on rap, but that was a powerful piece of poetry right there.
I'm going to tell you something. As that was going on, the rhema came to me, you know, glory to God. You know how the presence of the Lord in the Old Testament times was manifested in the Ark of the Covenant. God, that was pre-cross, hallelujah. But post-cross, and the presence of the Lord is in us, hallelujah.
Yeah.
We got the Ark of the Covenant, the Ark of the Agreement, the manifestation of the agreement that God has with us is in us. Oh, that's revelation, y'all. Y'all get that tomorrow. Some of y'all get that tonight. Some of y'all got it already. The presence of the Lord is in. That's why the blessings are yours, because you got the Ark of the Covenant in you. Somebody looking for the Ark of the Covenant, I got news for you. It ain't in Ethiopia. It ain't in Israel. Somebody said it might even be in Russia. I got news for you. The Ark of the Covenant is in us.
Yeah.
Holy Ghost filled, tongue talking, fire baptized, glory to God. Children of the Most High God. I'm sorry, brother Jeff. I think that pumped me up just a little bit. Glory to God. I feel my help coming over
this year. Amen. Bless God. And you know the wonderful thing about it? One of the wonderful things about it, Pastor, is that we can be touched of men.
Yes. Glory to God. Come on now. See, that's not a revelation. Now, you know what? Look. If you ain't right, and by Old Testament days, and you touch that Ark of the Covenant, you fell dead right then on the spot. Jesus. Glory to God. But we can got the Ark of the Covenant in us, and we go lay hands on unsaved folk. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Lay hands on sick folks. Glory to God. We can lay hands, hallelujah, and the power of God will hallelujah, emanate through us to them. We are the conduit by which the manifested presence of the Lord will travel. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, hallelujah. I know that kind of almost discombobulated me. God, we want to talk about a subject that's on a lot of people's hearts today. And I want to just share this once more. And I think we need to give some housekeeping suggestions. You men, get yourself a composition notebook, a pen, pencil, magic marker, player, and get yourself the Word of God. Hallelujah. You can have it in your phone, but also get a physical copy of the Word of God so you can do some highlighting. And so, you know, it's good to have both multiple streams of the blessing come. You know, and the Word of God comes with blessing. It comes with anointing. Hallelujah. Glory to God. There's power in the Word of God. Hallelujah. But anyway, hallelujah to God. Brother Jerry, what are we going to be talking about today? What are we going to be talking about?
We're going to be talking about love. Love, yes.
Yeah.
Love. And the thing that comes to my mind about that, yes, sir, that's what we're going to be talking about.
You're going to be talking about, because I want to share with you guys now the theme for our church for the whole month has been life is an open book test.
That's right.
And so y'all need to understand, you know, y'all remember those times in school, in middle school or junior high school or high school or even college when y'all sitting in there waiting for the teacher to come in, he come in and say, okay, we're going to have a test. Your head went right there. Whoa, geez,
amen.
I didn't know that. Why they tell us? Oh, Jesus.
You didn't say nothing about those tests yesterday.
That's
yeah.
Right. And then you got a frown on your face. What am I going to do? I haven't opened my book since the semester started. Okay.
Oh, my God. It's a mess.
But then he says, it's an open book test. And everybody, your head go up, except two knuckleheads.
Oh.
One knucklehead left his book in the locker. The other one left his book at home. Other than those two knuckleheads, everybody happy now because
okay.
It's an open book test.
The spirits are high.
Brother Jerry.
Yes.
I know you teach school. And,
yes.
And if you have an open book test, everybody should pass that test. Is that right?
You know something, Pastor? Everybody should pass the test because all my tests are open book. All my quizzes are open book. Everything you need is in your book.
In the book.
In the book.
In the book. Yes, now I want to share this with you, man. You got to understand this. Life is an open book test. As long as you're living, you're going to have some tests. You mean today, yesterday, tomorrow, you still breathing? You're going to have tests. But the good news, a lot of people don't understand. The good news is there's an open book test. And what's that book? the Holy Scriptures. They call it the sword, the Bible. I don't know the other names that they may have for the Word of God, but it's the Word of God. That's the book we're talking about.
Yeah.
And today, our subject is the subject of life. Love is the subject of life, period. Love is the subject of life. Love is the subject of life. You know why?
Because, can you expand a little bit on that, Pastor Bird?
Yeah. Okay, love is the subject of life because love makes a way. Love finds a way. Love is the way. And guess what? God is love. Mm. Hallelujah. God is love. In John 3:16, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave. I'm going to stop right there. John 3:16, y'all got to understand that. God is love and Jesus is the way. You want to show love, real love in your life, in your family. You got to be in Christ. Because you let Christ be in you and you be in him. Because he's the personification of love. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you. Love. Hallelujah. And you know, there's a scripture. There's a scripture in 1 John chapter 4, verse 20. Says, if you say you love God and you hate your brother or your sister or anybody, do you have a Bible close hand? Can you go to First John 4:20? Because we need to nail this thing down. Because there are a lot of folks, and I got to call myself one of those in the past. I was perpetrating a hoax. I was saying I love God. And then I hated people. You treat me bad, I hate you. You treat me bad, I hate you. Yeah, but I love you, Lord. Went to church, same time. I love you, Lord, and I live my life. Oh, boy, we sing those songs and start getting happy, start moving, get a little twitchy here and there. As we go out, boy, I hate my boss. I can't stand the ground. When he come in the room, my stomach God starts getting upset. I can't stand him. I can't stand this one. Wait a minute now. What does that say? Did you get that scripture? Say amen if you got it.
Amen.
4:20.
Amen.
I've got to read that. What that say?
I'm sorry. What did you say? First John?
Yes, sir.
Oh, okay. Just a minute.
All right. When you get that, say amen. It's important for you to understand. Hallelujah. Glory to God. To deal with that. Love is the subject of life. Love makes a way. Love finds a way. Love is the way. God is love. And Christ is the way. You can't love your enemies without Christ. All of those, I didn't do that. You can't love those crazy neighbors without Christ.
That's right.
Christ is the way. Can you get that? You say amen?
Amen.
All right, read that. Read that.
1 John 4:20, if a man says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar, for he who doesn't love his brother, whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen?
So you folk that going out drinking the hater aid and then going to church on Sunday and lifting your hands up and, I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice. You better stop perpetrating a hoax. God said it. I didn't say it because in the West, you call somebody a liar, you better go for your gun because he's getting ready to draw on you.
It's going to be a duel. That's right.
It's going to be a duel. But look here. My arm's too short to box for God. So if you take umbrage at what I said, I suggest you talk to God. You just read the word. That's not what you said, is it? Did you write that? That scripture. You didn't write that scripture, did you, brother?
Oh, no. No, I didn't. No.
So God says, if they hate their brother and say they love God, they is a liar. God said that, right?
That's it. For he who doesn't love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God who he has not seen? Yes.
Ooh, that's deep. Now, let me just expound a little bit real quick. There's four different kinds of love. The Greeks have storge. Storge is conditional love. I love you as long as you love me, or I love you as long as you're doing what I think you ought to do. And when you stop doing what I think you ought to do, and you ain't love me no more, you know, the Coke bottle shape suddenly became a 2-liter shape. I don't love you no more because that's called conditional love. Then you got filial love. I love because you're my uncle, my aunt, my niece, my nephew. And some of us, we have situations where we got married, and then our wives, siblings, you know, and they had children. So you were their uncle by marriage. Then you got a divorce. You're no longer their uncle by marriage because you ain't married to her no more.
Oh
my goodness. So the condition doesn't move out the way.
That's right.
You know, stop your love. Oh, my goodness. Conditional love. And then filial love. Filial love, that's brotherly love. That's Philadelphia, brotherly love. You're my uncle, my aunt, my niece, my nephew, my cousin, my brother, my grandmother, father. I love you because, okay. And then there's eros, which is actually the Lord's form of love. That's sexual love. Why says the Lord's form of love? You don't even have to have a brain to eros, glory to God. I remember when I was a nurse on the Eastern Shore. I used to work in this hospital, and a geriatric hospital. And two old people, not much brain left. But every now and then, we would find them in the closet, heresy. See, we're talking men to men, you know, it's a man thing. So you don't need a brain to arrows. Dogs and cats arrows. I remember the old days, I'd be driving the car, and dogs be, middle of the street, don't stop traffic, arrows. Don't need no brain to arrows. It's the lowest form of love. But the highest form of love is agape. I love you, period. I love you, period. I love you, so I'm going to give to you because I love you. Love you, period. No conditions, no clauses, no caveats. Glory to God. The kind of love. And look here. God gave that to us. Is that right? John 3:16 said, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He gave.
He
didn't ask you to have a condition. Romans says, while we were yet in sin, God, Jesus Christ died for us. While we were yet sinners, God gave his son to die for us. That's deep. In other words, you ain't doing what he wants you to do, but he's gonna love you anyway. Mm. And Ephesians 5, verse 1 and 2, glory to God. If you can get there, when you get there, say amen. I love the word of God, y'all. And I hope you write these scriptures down, man. When you get to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 and 2, say amen.
Amen.
Oh, amen. Go ahead and read that.
Be therefore imitators of God as beloved children. Walk in love, even as Christ also loved us and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice of God for a sweet-smelling fragrance.
I'm going to tell you, when you show godly love, you smell good.
Mm.
Mm. And the nostrils of God, you smell good. I'm going to tell you, you smell good to people, too. They say, how in the world can't you love that person that cheated him so badly? There's a fragrance about.
You know what we hear all the time? You know what we hear all the time, Bishop? Is how in the world did he get her? Look at him. He's bald-headed. He's this. He's that. He don't have the muscles. That. How did he get her? It's the love of God.
The love of God.
That's
it's
what we
God.
Yeah. If we can't understand that, we can't understand the love of God. Because the love of God is the highest, Unger tells us, is the highest characteristic of God. And he has shared that with us. So if he's sharing his highest characteristic with us, then we should be, even though his ways are higher than ours, we should be somewhere in the stratosphere sharing his observation of things.
And that's
sharing
why,
his view of things, the way he sees things.
Well, you know what? That just reminds me. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, when you get that say amen. See, it said to be like God, as did
Jesus.
When you get that say amen?
Genesis 1?
Yes, verse 26.
All right. Amen.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, you're Speedy Gonzalez. Go ahead. Read that for me.
Thank God for electronics.
Praise God.
126? Amen.
126, yes.
God said, let's make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Yeah.
The most important part of that whole scripture is we made in whose image?
Made in the image of God.
That's why we got to be like him as dear children. His biggest quality is his love for us.
Yes.
And you know what? I'm going to throw Mickey in the wrench. In Acts, I guess they call it a wrench in the Mickey. I don't know. But anyway, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. I want you to see something real quick, man. Okay.
Acts 1?
1, verse 8. When you get there, say amen.
All right. Amen.
Read.
Verse 8. Acts 1, verse 8 reads, there was great joy. There was great joy in the city.
Chapter 1, verse 8.
1:8. There we go. Okay. All right. Here we go.
But you
will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You will be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth.
Okay, stop right there. They were in Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
Power. What the place power Lord, that God gives a man.
Or woman, but we deal with men today.
Yeah.
Is a power to love.
Mm. And it starts where? Jerusalem, where we are.
Okay.
Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Now, in the English, when you get this, amen. Well, in the English, they had three words, glory to God, for, hallelujah, love. You got love itself, you got charity, and you got compassion. They all mean love. And it's supposed to be love and action. Love. But where does this love begin? Are you there yet?
Yeah.
1 Corinthians chapter 13.
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
If I speak...
By the way. Okay, you can start reading that verse 1.
If I speak with the languages of men and of angels, but don't have love, I have become sounding brass or a tingling cymbal.
Stop. You're nothing. You're hollow. You're not fulfilling your role, daddy, father, brother. If you don't have love at home for your family, I'm not talking about filial. I'm talking about agape. No clauses, no caveats. Go ahead, read some more.
If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith, so as to remove mountains, but don't have love, I'm nothing.
Stop. You may be a doctor, a lawyer, at home. You may be the pastor, the bishop, the archbishop. You may be the pope. I don't know who you are. Hallelujah. You may be the police chief. But you may be the deacon, you're the elder. Love begins where? Home. If your family doesn't feel you love them, I don't care what you do outside your home. What is it? It's nothing. Is that what it said?
I am nothing.
It's nothing. It's
but
a you
my wife to do the
in your life. If you love at home. If you show
well,
love.
I do, Bishop, let me interrupt, but I do get love at home. I just bought my wife a new car. I just bought my son a new car. I bought everybody a new car. Isn't that my love? Am I displaying my love?
Read some more because this is what love is. Come on, read some more then.
All right. If I give away all my goods to feed the poor. And I give my body to be burned.
Come on now.
But don't have love,
it
profits me nothing. So there's the answer to my question.
The answer to what you just said. Now, read some more.
Love is patient and is kind. Love doesn't envy.
Yeah.
Love doesn't brag.
You men got to hear that. Oh, I'm fed up. I'm tired of this. Keep your mouth shut. God can say the same thing about you, you stubborn, hard-hearted, but anyway, go ahead. Keep reading. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Keep reading.
Okay. Doesn't have, behave itself inappropriately. Doesn't seek its own way. Is not provoked. Takes no account of evil. Doesn't rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Love never fails, verse 8. But where there are prophecies.
Okay, you can stop right there. I'm going to share this with y'all. You've got to understand, that's how you operate at home and then outward. It starts at home and then it spreads out. It doesn't start out. And then maybe somehow you throw your family a crumb. That's how a lot of pastors have built
tremendous ministries, and the homes went shipwrecked because they were out of order. You build from the inside. Have you ever seen somebody try to build a skyscraper? They start with the skyscraper. They didn't build no foundation. They didn't dig enough. Sometimes, you know, it takes patience. It takes love to work on the foundation. Sometimes it looks like, boy, they've been digging in that hole a long time. Have you seen that, Minister Jerry?
Yeah,
building a building.
You know,
they've been dug and working on the foundation for a long time.
A long
your
time.
Your family is the foundation of your life.
You know what, Bishop? Can I put a pin in that right there? Can I pause that right there?
Yes, sir.
You know, you are absolutely right, and we talked about this the other day. Let's say you're building a house. You're building a physical house for your family.
Yes.
You call it an act of love and so forth and so on. And you're digging the foundation. Well, nobody gets excited about the foundation being built. But everybody wants to give you a housewarming and wants to see the finished product of everything above the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Where it is, if you don't have a good foundation, that house is not going to stand and endure like it's supposed to be. The man who built his house upon the sand, when the storms of life came and the wind blew and the waters came, the house couldn't stand. But the one who built it on the rock,
hallelujah,
his house was able to withstand all the storms of life.
Men.
So, yes, sir.
Men, your rock is Jesus.
Amen.
Your rock is love.
Yes.
And God is love. And look, you got some hard-headed children, but you still got to love them.
You still got to love them.
You got to love them. I mean, they may not be doing what you want them to do, but you still got to love them.
I love them.
You just, oh, I hate those children. What are you saying out of your mouth?
Mm.
Don't even trivialize the word hate.
Mm-mm.
Because the seed you sow is the crop you grow.
Mm-mm.
Watch out now. You got to watch out what you say around your children. You start that love working. Hallelujah. Be righteousness conscious. Not sin conscious. You know, because every time they make a misstep, you jump down their throat. Hallelujah. Mm. That's when the grace of God covered them. Hallelujah. Because look here. You've got to pay the price to be the boss in your house. And I'm not talking about boss where you tell everybody what to do. I'm talking about be responsible. Be the provider. There's a price you got to pay. You know what that price is? It's a four-letter word. It's called love. Because in verse 7 of that scripture you were just reading, says, it beareth all things in the King James Version. Love beareth, didn't say some things, didn't say a few things. It says love beareth all things. That's deep. Well, Christ got up on that tree, and he died for every man, woman, boy, and girl. Whoever lives or ever will live. That's real deep. Mm.
Deep.
For everything they could ever do, that's real deep. My goodness. Love beareth all things. Love got up on the tree and bore everything. Your missteps and mistakes. Your faux pas and failures. He died for that. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. But, glory to God. Go ahead, Minister Jerry.
You know what? What's that? You got to close?
No. We got about 8 minutes to go. I'm thinking I need to say some stuff over again. So y'all need to write it out. Okay. Life is an open book test. The book is the Bible. You got to stay in the Word, y'all. Answers to every question that you could possibly deal with is in the Word of God. It's an open book test. You got to get to the book. Your children ought to see you looking at in the book, reading the book. They ought to hear you quoting scriptures around the house. You know, but I just don't feel. I ain't ask you how you feel. It don't change the word of God, your feelings, your emotions. The word of God is the word of God. There's power and anointing in the word of God. And the word of God is seed. You ought to be planting some good seed, speaking the word of God over your family, over your wife, over your children, over your brothers and sisters, over your sons and daughters, over your father and your mother, over your grandparents, over your uncles and aunts, nieces and nephews and cousins. You ought to be speaking the word of God. Because if you take time to do that, that's showing love. Glory to God. Love makes a way. Love finds a way. Love is the way. God is love. And Christ is the way. Often you can't do the love part without being in Christ. You got to, I love you with the love of the Lord. Sometimes I love my boss with the love of the Lord. He treats me like a dog every day, but I love him with the love of the Lord. We used to sing a song, Brother Jerry. I love you with the love of the Lord. I wish I could sing real good. Like
way back then, Bishop. Yes, sir. I remember that kind of story.
Yeah, and we would go around and hug people. Coronavirus or whatever. You know, we used to do that, hug people. I love you with the love. Now we fist bump a lot of people. But we show love.
Yes.
Love is only a four-letter word unless we put it into action. God put it into action. He gave. Love gives. Well, what does love give? I'm going to tell you what it gives. You go to. You don't have to go there, Brother Jerry. We almost. Okay. Hallelujah. The scripture, praise God. Galatians 5. 22 and 23. You know what the love gives? He gives the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long suffering, that's patience, gentleness and goodness, a grace and mercy, faith, meekness and temperance. That's power under control. That's your emotions under control. Glory to God. That's what love gives. Love gives consideration. Love, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and read that. That tells you what love does. It's not easily provoked. Seeketh not its own. It's not puffed up. Arrogant. Love beareth all things. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Brother Jerry, you have some closing thoughts on love. Hallelujah.
Well, you know, Bishop, you just about said it. You said it all. That 1 Corinthians 13. That's a famous love chapter, and that love chapter tells you everything that love is and everything that love is not. And it sounds to me, and it looks to me, that love is some tough stuff.
Yes, it is. And you know what? I got news for you. There's no way you can make it. There's no way you can love without him.
That's right.
Amen. We thank Father God, we thank you for every man that heard this message on today. We thank you that the seed sown shall give back 36 and 100-fold return. Harvest, even a valuable return and harvest in Jesus' name. We praise your name. We give you the glory and we give you the honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Minister Jerry. We appreciate you being with us. And I just want to say, the last thing I want to say is this. Hallelujah. That means it's time.
keep on creating, y'all.
Hallelujah.
Clap your hands down. Can we do it? Come on. Can we do it? Come on. Can we do it? Come on. It's all right, y'all. Yeah.
God bless you, man. Have a blessed and victorious week and month. Amen. God bless you, Minister Jerry.
God bless you, sir.
Thank you so much. All right. Bye-bye.
Popular track. Play groove. Popular track. Beach off.
The world to see. Ladies and gentlemen, we're getting it together. So if you call all three, that's great.
I'm gonna close this one down, okay? All right. God bless.
Okay. Use the house phone. Disconnect the. Just call the two sisters back. Hang up your cell phone. Okay, and call them back. But don't call. Okay. Okay. Now the house phone. Just turn that on.
Hey, the house phone is on.
All right, praise the Lord. God bless you. Y'all be patient with us. We're getting some technical situations squared up. Okay, now call the others. I'll play the song while you call the others.
On my cell phone?
Yeah. I put it near the house phone. Just call the two of them. Don't call the house phone.
What I want to be, hidden woman for all the world to see.
I'm
living inside of me, joyfully. God loves me, not following the crowd. What life's about. Once the exclusive head reveals his plan, then I know wherever he leads me, that the place where he really needs me. And
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Listen, Linda, I had called you and I wasn't able to get you and pick up your voice. Then you feel as if you had to repent all over again. We didn't wear pants. We couldn't wear jewelry. We didn't wear fingernail polish. We didn't go to movies. We didn't go to parties. Maybe if the church wasn't happening, you didn't go. You were made to feel condemned. When we went to the office to get saved, we tarried. And it was one person on one side of you and another person on the other side. Somebody said, hold on. Somebody said, let go. You didn't know let go of the altar. And somebody said, tell me you want to get filled with the Holy Ghost. Somebody said, there was a whole lot of things that...
Hallelujah. You need to get closer to the mic. Closer to the mic.
That we were told that we could not do. A lot of those things were church doctrine. A lot of things were things that it wasn't from the Word of God, but it was the understanding that the pastor had. And he passed those understandings on to the saints, and a lot of times they took on whatever his understanding was. It wasn't like they searched the Word of God for themselves. If they did, they say, oh, well, this is what the pastor said, and they dare not go against whatever he said. You know, what I want to talk about tonight, and but see, the young people today, you can tell a lot of them are in the church, a lot of them have seen things, and a whole lot of them say, well, they take all that, and I ain't going there, you can't do nothing. But... And the young people, we drove a lot of people away from church a long time ago. We did, and then a lot of the young people today, all of us deal with. Pastor Maxine, you have young people. A lot of them in your family, Minister Linda, you come across a lot of young people, and I've worked with young people for the last 34 years, and all. And I've seen young people in the church, and you cannot give these young people today my opinion. Whatever. They're going to say, why?
Yes.
Why?
Yes.
Who said that? Where did they say? And if they say yes in front of you and they don't totally agree, they're going to go behind your back and do whatever they want to do because they don't understand why you said such and such. They want an explanation. And when I was raising my girls, because of the way I was raised, and you weren't allowed to talk back. You weren't allowed to ask. You just had to do. I used to give my children explanations. Y'all, I need you to do such and such. But we're doing this because. And then there were some times when I said, y'all, I need y'all to do this right now. I don't have time for an explanation. I need you to do, you know, depending on what the circumstance was. I need y'all to go do. Y'all can come back later on and we can talk. But right now, I need y'all to do such and such. But when it came to, oh, well, we can't do this and we can't do that. Mm-mm. I had to get them explanation. I would talk to them. I didn't want them to be driven away from the church or say, well, Gina, ain't no fun to serving Jesus. Why we got to go to church again? And if they thought it had to be made a fun thing for them. You know, they had to see some fun in it. But, y'all, my question is, does it take all of that today? All of those church doctrine things. How do you explain to the young people today how to stay saved? I mean, about loving Jesus. What do you tell them to fall in love with the Lord today? Does it still take all of that?
Yeah. I said take that and much more. Not the wearing of the apparel the long dresses, appearances, stuff like that, not the old traditional way, but it does take holiness because God just became holier. He was holy.
Mm-hmm.
And in order for us to relate to the young people about Christianity, we have to bring forth the word where knowledge is given unto them.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Bible says, my people perish for lack of knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And when we talk
can't hear.
you are talking, they're looking at the way you're walking and where are you going, okay? And they're reading you. And if they don't see Christ in you, the hope of glory, then they're going to go the opposite way. And they're going to say, they're hypocrites, you know. But in the word of God, God tells us that we perish because lack of knowledge. The church is perishing in this area because they don't have knowledge. They don't want to study to show their self-approval unto God. They don't want to study to see what Paul.
Okay, can I hear you? Pete. It's not on the radio. You have the house phone? Is it on? It needs to be on. Press that button. Okay, now you're
on. Things that's going on in the church,
you're back
and on. They frowned on it and said, we're not going that way.
Mm-hmm.
But salvation is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Yes.
Okay? God never changes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And the things that have creeped into the church to bring the young in, most of it is not of God.
Mm-hmm.
The doctrine of manners came in. The truth of the word is in there. God said, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And that's why our youth is not getting free, because the truth of the word is not being proclaimed. We're doing tricks and treats and things that will catch their eyes but won't catch their spirit, won't catch their heart.
Yeah.
Amen? Yes. And this is why God said his people perish for the lack of knowledge. All the word that is going around and being preached, amen, on today, praise God. And the Bible teaches us, the word of God said, no man comes to the Father unless the Spirit draws.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And I know for myself as a young person, I was in my early teens, and the Spirit of God began to draw me. I began to want to know more about God. My parents had told me about God, had taken me to church, but I really didn't know him. And the Spirit of God began to draw me, and I began to hunger to want to know more about this God that they were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And I would look around and I would see people in the church, and they would, to me as a young child, as a youth, I would tell them that it's more to it than that. They're not really living what the word is saying. And I didn't know anything. All I knew was by my spirit that they wasn't living the way God wanted them to live.
Mm.
And because of it, I began to cry out in my spirit, and I began to cry out for the love of God, and I wanted to know more about the love of God. And as I cried out, then God began to direct me to Christians that was really, really giving true understanding of the scriptures.
Mm.
And as I began to listen to them, I'll never forget, praise God, Sister Blackwell, I never forget, Pastor Linda, I never forget the Spirit of the Lord. When I went to church, amen, I was sitting in that church building, and the minister was preaching, and it was such a presence that it came into the service. And as a young person, I didn't know what it was, but I knew it was different from the other church that I was sitting in. I never felt that. I never witnessed that. And as he began to minister the word of God on the true vine, which is Jesus, as he began to minister, that word began to draw me. It began to draw me. And I began to see myself as filthy rag. This is the Lord. I was clean in the natural, but in the spirit I was dirty. Amen. Because he was bringing the truth of God's word. And this is why I said, the word of God said, my people perish for the lack of knowledge.
Yes.
We have to have the true knowledge of God, because that's the only thing that's going to set us free. He said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
Yes.
Amen. We don't need tricks and treats, amen, in the church. We need the truth of God's word and the anointing to break every yoke and every bondage
that's
around about us. Amen?
I know for myself, I was raised in the ministry. I often share how my grandmother and my auntie, my great auntie, was fussed because one was holiness and one was Baptist. And walked around with her long dress and couldn't see nothing but the tip of her shoes.
Wow.
And my grandmother was saying, oh, that's not necessary. Not that she was showing her knees or anything, but she kept telling my aunt, you know, certain things wasn't necessary. I grew up hearing at home listening, and they would get in there and pray. But what the thing that drew me is when they went before God, I don't care what faith they were in, they went before God together. That joint effort, that prayer, that reaching out to the Holy of Holies with both of them, that spirit would come in where we were. And then it used to scare me a little bit because, like I said, they just got over this long conversation about the differences. But yet when they came together, that was an atmosphere change that came in that room.
All right.
And often that was what drew me.
Yes.
And so even in going in the ministries and different things, and I thank God, because we all make a flesh. Yes. Relationship with God. That's how sometimes when we can go in a building and we feel that it's not right or something's not with it, not that we're looking even at the people. The atmosphere alone will give you a vibe that's either good or bad. But before anybody even speaks a word of anything. And then when you go in a place and there is sometimes the rigid structures of things and the form of godliness, but it doesn't have the feel of godliness. Those are sometimes missing. I don't know. I don't think anything too much has changed except for, like, you know, the clothing or this stuff, because the era, they said. But God says there's nothing new under the sun.
Amen.
Right?
Right.
So when we got to be careful when we're sharing and talking to the young, even to the old, because there are old people out there, old soldiers, old warriors, and I call them old warriors because they have worn with the world. They have been in a lifestyle of trying to look and hope, you know, for change and love and for the Spirit of God to be upon them. And sometimes, like I said, you get into a ministry and things like that are missing. That's what's missing. I think that's what even changes our young ones. When they can, it changed me. I mean, I was little, and I didn't know anything. They kept talking about Jesus and everything, but, you know, and the rules and the regulations. But that's not what molded me, even though I lived under them in a certain way because each one was different. But it was the Spirit of God that I chose to look for when they got to praying. And when that spirit rolled through that house, that's what I wanted to find when I went into a ministry.
I
think that might be what's missing. If our babies aren't seeing that or feeling that or knowing that or that touch, you see, that's the love. Even though they were in different places, it was the love that came together. And that jointing before God, it didn't matter what place they were. It didn't even matter too much except for at that point in time what they were saying to God. And that God was there to listen. What that whole conversation before then didn't even matter.
Praise God.
That was what happened was right there in that room. That's what changes the hearts of God's people, I think.
Yes.
That's what draws. That's what I heard you saying, Precious, when you were talking. That's what you were looking for also.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you come to places or you go into any room, you have to have a feel of that room. And, you know, when God, now, when God moves by his spirit. I'm listening.
So
I'm listening, Precious.
Continue to share. Because I'm going to tell you something. The young people that we're coming across today, that's what they want. They may not know it. They may not know how to explain it. But they want something that's real because they were showing up to tell you when you were phony.
Oh, girl.
They will tell you, you fake, you ain't real, because what they know, because they done already had so much, they have lived so much, y'all, so at such a young age that when you come and if you say you one of them holy rollers, you better act like it, because they sure not going to tell you, you're phony, you a fraud, Jack, you know, this and that, and they don't want to hear, they want to know, and when you're talking to them and they're telling, you're telling them about Jesus, they can feel it, so they're going to know if you for real.
Yes.
They want to know what's real, because just like the world, these older people out here, that the world is hungry for what's right, for what's real. These young people, they have lived so much so soon in their life. They want, they're hungry too, and that's what they want.
Yes, God says in His word, it's the anointing that breaks every yoke. Even some, when our babies are coming into the world, you know, they come under attack. They get, you know, they have physical ailments. They get in, the doctors are talking, and, you know, different things are coming when they're born into this world.
Uh-huh.
And the parents that are having these children, even our young ones, I'm not saying anything about the young ones because I was a young mother.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm if it had not been for the training and the teaching and the love and the talking, and the thing that changed was the anointing of God.
Praise God.
I knew for myself
that
something missing.
Yes.
And I sought it out. I wanted to see all of that conversation, and I began to ask questions. And see, we're given a lot of information out. I don't want that to be a part that's missing.
Uh-huh.
Without it, it's still going to lose something. They're not going to get it.
Right.
They'll get it. So that's the part that's very much important.
Mm.
Even when we're sharing in conversation, or just a general conversation, you can tell when a person, you know, you can see where they're going through something. You can see that conversation is coming from the heart, or, you know, where it's coming from. Even in life conversations, you can tell when somebody's in a distress.
Mm.
But that's only to listen, or you feel for their spirit.
Mm.
You feel for that particular place when you're walking with them. And that knowledge will come. And see, that's what God gives. He gives that. When we think of them, these are the things that I think should be shared with each individual. You have a gift that was given.
Yes.
And if you don't have it, you need to seek it.
Yes.
Find it. It's not hidden from you. You are born with the blessings of God. Some, and some say, well, you're born with curses. But Jesus Christ came that none should perish.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
None should involve. So how can we, you know, we can't. We just have to reach out and feel and get into a place where either they're going to see it or they're not.
Mm.
And it's incumbent.
That's a good statement, though, because when you said they'll see it or they're not, because I remember some young youth that I used to have to teach in Sunday school, okay, they would watch me. I mean, they would watch me, and they would, sometimes I didn't even think they was even listening at the teaching that I was teaching in Sunday school. But one day I had to miss Sunday school. I wasn't feeling good, and my throat was all hoarse, and I just couldn't go to church. So another vessel and took my place into it. And when she went in there, they prayed for her, they read the scriptures, and they did everything that she said that was contrary to what I had taught them in the scriptures. They stood up and they said, no, this is not what the scripture said. And
yes.
when that next Sunday when I came in church, she said, you have taught them well.
Yes.
And I said, what do you mean? She said, they corrected me every time.
All right. All right.
And here I was like, Father, they listening? You know? I didn't think they were even listening, you know, to me. I didn't even think they were even watching me.
Wow.
And, but they did, and
mm-hmm.
God just showed me
mm-hmm.
that, you know, it was very important that I lived the word, you know, and I taught the word
yes.
in the correct way for they to
yes.
pick it up. Some of them right today.
Yeah,
I don't see them all the time, but when I bump into them, they say, I remember what you said.
Yes. Praise God.
And that,
yes.
you know, that's a blessing, you
yes.
know, and
yes,
everything.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because yes.
they want, you know, our youth just want truth.
Yes.
They,
yes.
Yeah, they want you to be real before them.
Yes.
And one girl, she told me, she said, I know all about the world. She said, I'm out there in the world. I know about the world, but I don't know too much about Christ.
Mm.
So, you know, and I told her, I said, any questions that you have, anything that I can help you with in Christ, I
yes.
am willing to do that, you know. And she has, you know, she was excited, you know, about that. You know?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Praise God.
Yes. God just wants us to stand up and do what we're supposed to do as the lead Christian. I call the older people the leaders to
yes.
Christ. Okay.
Yes.
You know, my mother, she would lead me to the church. She would make me pray. And I say make me pray because a lot of times I didn't want to.
No.
No. I wanted when I wanted to, but not when, you know, church was going on. I just wanted to sit there, go to sleep, you know,
uh-huh.
look through my little pocketbook that I had, you know, not pay attention.
Uh-huh.
You know, she made me pay attention.
Yeah.
And she made me pray.
Yeah.
And she made me get up on the car and sing, you know. And all of that was training, you know, to get me where God wanted me to be in him,
praise
that
God.
When I came into the house of the Lord, or even on the outside, that my spirit would begin to just worship God and do
yes.
what I needed to do.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and our foreparents, the knowledge that they had, you know, regardless of whether they had the long dresses or the earrings on, they shared with us, and now we in a generation, I say each generation, God imparts more knowledge and
yes.
knowledge of his word.
Yes.
So
yes.
right now we in a generation that, you know, the children, they don't dress like we dress.
Right.
Okay. Some of them don't talk like we talk.
Right.
But they see and they see Christ and they bring Christ in their message and
yes.
you listen to them.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Yeah. So I just want to share that, you know, because God is looking. He's looking in our heart.
Uh-huh.
And you know, he's searching for vessel that he can use. I never thought that I would be able to stand before a congregation or a body of people and expound the word that God has placed within my heart.
Praise
and
God.
Share like I'm sharing on tonight. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
The word of God. I never thought I could do that. But I had a strong vessel behind me pushing me forward and saying, you can do this.
Uh-huh.
You know.
Praise
so
God.
the word of God says you can do all things through Christ who strengthens. And I'm as a young child said, oh, no, I can't
nature, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. So that when I went before the congregation, the boldness of the Lord came out of my mouth before I even knew it came out of my mouth. This is what God wants us to do. And then I'm gonna say this, and then I'm going to be quiet. It was a young girl that was in my class, and she liked those mini skirts, okay? And she wanted to wear those mini skirts and all. And different ones throughout the church, or the people without the church, you could hear them say, she needs to, you know, get longer dresses, you know, she needs to put on a longer dress. The Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, leave her alone.
Mm-hmm.
Just pray for her.
Yeah.
I prayed for her.
Thank you.
As I prayed for her, the Holy Spirit began to deal with her.
Praise God.
One Sunday, she walked in the church door, and she had a dress on down to her knee. And it shocked everybody. It really stunned. And I pulled her aside, and we were talking, and I said, how was your week, you know? And she told me, she said, you see my dress? And I said, yes. She said, God told me to buy this dress.
Praise God.
Yeah. The Holy Spirit just began to deal with her.
All right.
And because of that, you know, she brought the dress that was down to her knees and not one of those mini dresses.
Praise God.
And she came into the house of the Lord, and she was so happy and so, you know, proud to be in the house of the
Lord
because she had that dress that God had told her to buy. And
that was wisdom.
So we don't know what we are.
Mm-hmm.
We are doing.
Yes.
We just have to be obedient to God.
Yes.
Because God knows how to deal with our hearts. He knows how to deal with the youth. Yeah. I cut somebody off, so I'm sorry.
Oh, no, that's all right. No, Pastor Messing, I was saying that was wisdom for you to, I guess, for the Lord, for you to accept what God was telling you. Because what if you had attacked her, or what if you said something to her about her clothing? She might have saw it as an attack. You might have driven her away, or that dress may not have come down. Or she might have said, well, no matter how much the Lord was trying to tell her to buy a dress, she was like, I'm going to wear it. That's all. We have to use wisdom when it comes to these young people. I mean, we have to show them love, because so many young people have so many situations going on in their household. Oh my gosh! Yes. So therefore, the love that we share with them is what's going to draw them to Christ. Before they even hear any preaching, the love what we're going to express to them that's going to draw them to hear the preaching is the love of Christ. Is the love. Because we can treat them just like anybody else, or treat them the way they're being treated out there in the street, and it's going to drive them away from us too. They'll never, ever get the experience of even hearing the word of God if we treat them like their friends and stuff out there in the street treating them.
That's right. That is so true.
Lord Jesus.
Also, in walking, I thank you for that testimony, because when young ones come, young and old, as a matter of fact, because there isn't an age barrier out there anymore. You know, the old ones, some of them have not been in complete relationship with God, or they're trying to find it. And so even with the young ones, you know, so that sometimes I think they bump into some of the old ones that are dissatisfied, and they get an earful. But the truth of things is, when we come to them with love and not judgment, you know,
yes,
we come to them not just saying love, because that's a broad spectrum of a word, but we come to them as individuals and see them as an individual person, because that's how we would want someone to look and see us, not as a group, as a whole, or, you know, entity that's doing something wrong, but as a human being that has feelings and that wants to be embraced, you know, because I think all of us walk through life where we want to have favor with one another.
Yeah.
And we come into the ministry, and that ministry, it doesn't have to be in a church building. Well, thank you, Father God. This is anybody that we meet. We meet people in the supermarket. We meet people.
Amen. Amen.
Everywhere we go.
Yeah.
And that kindness, that love, that kindness, that peace that we pass on just by sharing, hey, hello, sometimes moves and changes a heart.
Amen.
So it looks like, hey, somebody was kind to me.
Yeah.
And that's what God said we're to be known by, love.
Amen.
And so that's what we do. We don't judge. I mean, we can, I mean, if that's something you choose to do, that's between what God puts in your heart. But as a whole, we're to embrace one another with love.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
That's why Christ came. That we love. That's why he gave love when he died on that cross.
Amen. Amen.
You know, there's a sacrifice that goes forward every day in our lives.
Yeah.
Every day that we come to breathe in a new day. There are things that are going to come and approach us.
Amen.
That will hit us like a brick wall.
Yeah. Yes.
But it's that love that brings us back.
Yes, it is.
We're loving one another.
Yes, thank you so much. Yes, thank you so much, ladies. I enjoyed talking with Pastor Maxine Lee of Etches Merle and Minister Linda Blackwell, and I just love the two of y'all, and I appreciate y'all being here tonight and sharing what God is putting in your heart, and we're just going to be able to, with what we talked about tonight, we're going to be able to draw the young people even or be on the lookout, even the more for the young people. Hallelujah, because they are looking for what's real. They are hungry, y'all. There's so many of them are committing suicide. They're looking for real people. They're looking for the truth. And the saints of God are the ones that have the truth. Hallelujah, Jesus. And we're going, and God is continually, I guess, putting in us what's needed to draw the young people. And thank you so much for being on the call tonight. And God bless the both of y'all. Have a good night.
God bless you guys. Bless
you too. Hallelujah.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.